today, as we sort of conclude this week of Thanksgiving and families coming together, I would like to just spend today sharing a few precious thoughts from God's Word, from my heart to yours. And I'm going to invite you to take your Bible, if you have one there in front of you or with you, and turn with me, if you would, to the first book that Paul wrote to the church at Thessalonica. It's called 1 Thessalonians. And let's go to the very last chapter, chapter 5, and we'll read just three little verses, verses 16 through 18. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 through 18. Notice what Paul says here. He says to rejoice always. Always. Now that's a hard one to do. But nevertheless, he says to rejoice always and pray without ceasing. And maybe those two verses need to be tied together. Because when we cease to pray, we cease to rejoice. Have you ever noticed that? When we lose contact with God, we no longer praise Him. But as we continue to commune with God moment by moment, day by day, without ceasing, we have things to rejoice about and we give Him our praise. In everything, Paul says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Well, what did Paul know about giving thanks? What did he know about praising God in extreme circumstances? Would you take your Bible and go back to the book of Acts just for a moment? Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16. Let's take a look at this man who wrote these words to rejoice and give praise, to pray continually. Let's take a look at one of the experiences, just one of the experiences of the Apostle Paul. Chapter 16 of Acts. And let's take a look at verse 23. Paul had been preaching and teaching, and he had become an annoyance to the local city dwellers, and they took Paul and did something with him. Notice what it says in verse 23, chapter 16. And when they had laid many stripes on Silas and Paul, in other words, they had beaten them, they threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to keep them securely. Having received such a charge, he put them in the inner prison, and then he fastened their feet in stocks. I think most of us know what that is. In other words, they couldn't get up and walk around. But what did they do? But at midnight, verse 25 says, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately the doors were opened and everyone's chains were loosed. Pray how often? Continually. Whether you're in prison or whether you're not in prison. Rejoice always. Whether you're in prison or whether you're not in prison. You never cease to rejoice and give God thanks. Now, Paul wasn't going anywhere this night. He was locked up in confinement, and his feet were also in bonds. There was no way he was going anywhere. So instead of moping around, he did what Paul gave advice to do, and that is rejoice. In every situation, every circumstance, praise God. And so he lifted up his voice in singing, and the chains fell off. Sometimes we find our lives are bound by Satan, and Satan, as it were, chains us to depression, to fear, to anxiety, to guilt, to shame, to all kinds of horrible things. But when we praise God and continually pray to Him and commune with Him, Satan's chains fall off. We need to lift up our voice in singing, even when we don't feel like singing. And some of us don't sing because not only do we not feel like it, some of us think we can't. My mother never knew she couldn't, and so she did anyway. And I still miss her singing such as it was. And I can remember her when I was a little boy, my mother singing, when things got rough, when things got tight financially, when things were hurting around the home, she would sing. And somehow it lifted the spirits of her little boys. And they knew that everything was going to be okay because Mommy was singing a joyful tune. Paul, singing in prison, no matter what circumstances we find ourselves in. Let's go back to our last study together, back to the Old Testament, to 2 Chronicles and verse 20. We talked about this in our last presentation, but I'd like for you to take a look at it again in light of what we're talking about this morning in thanksgiving and praise. 2 Chronicles chapter 20 and verse 20 and 21. You'll recall that Judah had been surrounded by three enemies, Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, and they had come now to destroy the remnant of Israel. And it says in verse 20, "So they rose early in the morning and went out into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went out, Jehoshaphat, who was their leader of Israel, stood up and said, 'Hear me, O Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe the Lord your God, and you shall be established. No one can take you out. In fact, if you'll keep Jesus in your sight, you will be established.'" Do you understand that? If you're being established, no one, I'll say it again, can take you out. And so Jehoshaphat is telling them to believe in the Lord your God, and He will establish you. You will not be destroyed. But secondly, he says, "I want you to also believe God's prophets, and you will prosper. Not only will He establish you, but you will move forward and you will prosper." And then notice what the Scriptures say. Verse 21. "And when he had consulted with the people, told them what they were to do, he then appointed those who should sing to the Lord, and who should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army and were saying, 'Praise the Lord, for His mercy endures forever.'" God's mercies endure forever. That's why we can praise Him forever, because He is merciful to His people. Now, notice what verse 22, the very first part of it, says. "Now when they," Judah, "began to sing and to praise," something happens. It says, "The Lord set ambushments against the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir who had come against Judah, and they were defeated." Three mighty powers that could have wiped out Judah without any trouble whatsoever, except someone started singing. And as soon as they were praising God and singing, God set ambushments against the enemy, and the enemy was destroyed. There's a little book called The Desire of Ages, an interesting little book on the life of Jesus Christ. And as you read through His early childhood, you'll discover that oftentimes in the carpenter shop where Jesus worked with His daddy, His earthly father, that adopted Him, for His heavenly Father was the source of His life. This little book tells us that oftentimes Jesus' voice would be lifted up in praise and others would hear Him singing in the carpenter shop. Interesting. In a city of Nazareth, where nothing good could come out of Nazareth, all they had was rock stations. Everybody walked around with their iPod and 201 tunes from the underworld. But where Jesus was, there was something different coming out of the carpenter shop. It was a different tune. It was praising His Father in heaven. It wasn't lifting up the human flesh. It wasn't drawing attention to Him. It wasn't drawing attention to themselves as great artists and rock stars. It was giving attention to God and all of His problems. seem to vanish. Are you praising God today? Revelation chapter 4. Would you turn there just for a moment? Revelation chapter 4. Let's take a look at Revelation for a moment, because there's praise also in the last book of the Bible. Revelation 4 and verse 8. We find four living creatures. Rather interesting description of something that we don't fully understand as we just read it. They're obviously symbols of something. Four living creatures, each having six wings, were full of eyes around and within. And they do not rest day or night, for they're saying something. They're saying, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." Now, whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to Him who sits on the throne, who lives forever and forever, the 24 elders that are also there around the throne fall down before Him who sits on the throne, and they worship Him who lives forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, and then they say... You notice how this joy just kind of flows from the creatures with all these eyes. And the 24 elders pick it up now as they cast their crowns before the throne of God. And they now begin to say in verse 11, "You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for You created all things, and by Your will they exist and were created." Chapter 5, verse 1. "And I, John, who wrote this book and wrote these events," about these events, he says, "And I saw in the right hand of Him who sat on the throne a scroll written inside and on the back, sealed with seven seals." Slip down to verse 6. "And I looked, and behold," it says there in verse 6, "a lamb, as though it had been slain, came," verse 7, "and took the scroll out of the right hand of Him who sat on the throne." Father sitting on the throne, His Son Jesus, the Lamb of God, comes and takes this scroll out of His hand. Verse 8 says, "Now when He had taken the scroll, the four living creatures we've already talked about that sing praises to God, and the 24 elders who fell down on their face before the Lamb, who also give honor and glory to God, each now have a harp and a golden bowl full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, 'You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals. For You were slain and have redeemed us to God by Your blood, out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth.'" Peoples joining with the 24 elders in their prayers of praise and thanksgiving to God who is worthy to open the scroll. John says in verse 11, "Then I looked and I heard the voice of many angels around about the throne, the living creatures and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000s and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice." Now everybody's praising and giving God glory. From the creatures, to the 24 elders, to the people, to the angels, the angelic host. They're all praising God. Amen. "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." Verse 13, "And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea and all that are in them, I heard saying," this must be the fish, "and the birds." It sounds like all of nature, all of creation. God's 10,000 voices are beginning to praise God too. "Blessing and honor and glory and power be to Him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever and forever and forever and forever and forever." They'll praise God. Amen. So what's our problem? We can't find anything to thank God for. Isn't that interesting that the creatures that God has created in the vast universe are praising God today? And every time they do, the 24 elders throw themselves before God's throne and cast their crowns before Him. And they praise God. which in turn causes those whose prayers are ascending to also be ascending to God in praise and thanksgiving. And then the angels rejoice that people are praying and praising God. And all of heaven is excited about that. And down in Otis Orchard, there are a few people that actually say, Amen. Oh, you're so beautiful when you say that. You see, that goes up and joins with the praise in heaven. Our little praise. God sitting on His great white throne waiting for someone in Otis Orchard to say Amen and praise God, and the things will look better tomorrow. And even though I'm in a bad situation today, I praise God for the experience because He's going to give me something good tomorrow. Revelation 14, verse 1, And then I looked, John says, and behold a Lamb standing on Mount Zion. We've just read about Him. He's the one that's getting the praise and the honor and the glory, the one who was worthy to be worshipped. And John now sees this Lamb standing on Mount Zion, and with Him is 144,000 having His Father's name written in their foreheads. And I heard a voice from heaven like the voice of many waters and like the voice of loud thunder. And I heard the sound of harpists harping with their harps. There's music, orchestras, the sounds of stringed instruments praising God. 144,000, and it says in verse 3, they sang, as it were, a new song before the throne, before the four living creatures and the elders that we've talked about. And no one could learn this song except the 144,000 who were redeemed from the earth. They have something to praise God for. A special group of people represent God's world down here as men who have overcome. What else does it say? These are the ones who were not defiled, verse 4, with women, for they were virgins. They are the ones who follow the Lamb wherever He goes. These were redeemed from among men, being first fruits to God and to the Lamb, and in their mouth was found no deceit, for they are without fault before the throne of God. Perhaps that's the only way you can stand before the throne of God. Amen. Without fault. Chapter 15, let's take a look at them again. Very next chapter in verse 2. And I saw something like a sea of glass mingled with fire, and those who have the victory over the beast and over the image and over His mark and over the number of His name. See, here's this group of people again we just talked about in chapter 14. They're virgins. They have no guile, no deceit in their mouth. They stand before the throne of God. They've gotten the victory over all of the powers of this earth, including the beast himself and his image and his number and his name. And they sing. They don't just stand there. They sing. I like this. Verse 3 says they sing. What do they sing? They sing the song of both Moses and the song of the Lamb. See, they've had an experience like that of Moses. We've been studying about him. And they also have an experience like that of Jesus. And they are singers. They're men who praise God, who know where the source of power and strength come from. It comes from God. And so they sing, Great and marvelous are Your works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are Your ways, O King of the saints. Who shall not fear You, O Lord, and glorify Your name? Who? Even all of nature gives glory to God. For You alone are holy, for all nations shall come and worship before You, for Your judgment has been manifested. We've seen it. Now you see, it's rather interesting because the seven first plagues have already fallen in context. God has demonstrated His mercy and His grace for the inhabitants of this old world. And His 144,000 have seen the mercy of God demonstrated to the nations of the world. And thus they give Him glory. Sometimes as pastor I wonder how much I should share and how much I shouldn't. But because you're such special saints and this is special Thanksgiving week, let me share another little thought for you. Chapter 14 and verse 4, you'll recall the 144,000 were identified as first fruits to God and to the Lamb. Now, an interesting little fascinating feature about the first fruits is that they were always waved before the Lord before the harvest could take place. That's a fact. The first fruits had to be waved before the Lord before the harvest could take place. And here we have the first fruits in chapter 15, verse 2. Having overcome the beast and his image and the mark and his number and his name, standing on the sea of glass, having the harps of God, singing the song of Moses and the Lamb, being waved before the universe as victorious of a mighty harvest that's soon to take place. For God has shown this group of people His mercy and His grace in saving the people from every kindred and tongue and nation of the world. No wonder they're thrilled at what they're singing. O Lord, and glorify Your name. For You alone are holy. All the nations shall come and worship You. Why? Because Your judgments have been seen. Past tense. Have been manifested. Past tense. In those seven acts of mercy that precede the seven last acts unmixed with mercy. Judgment will fall upon those who have refused the grace and the mercy of God. And then, beloved, this old earth will quake. And every tomb and every grave in which God has His saints will be shattered. And the saints will come forth glorified to join with the singing of the 144,000. It's a wonderful story. What I'm saying, beloved, there are some great, awesome events that are going to transpire before the Lord Jesus Christ comes back and awakens the dead out of their graves. Wonderful things are going to transpire on this earth, far greater than the big things that we think are so big today in relation to football. What would Thanksgiving be without turkey and football? Turn with me to Psalms, if you would please. Psalm 148. I'll tell you what a day. Psalm 148, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise Him in the highest. Praise Him all His angels. Praise Him all His hosts. Praise Him sun and moon. Praise Him all you stars of light. Praise Him you heavens of heavens and you waters above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for He commanded that they were created. He also established them forever and ever. He made a decree which shall not pass away. Verse 7, praise the Lord from the earth. You great sea creatures and all the depths, fire and hail, snow and cloud, stormy wind, fulfilling His word. Mountains and all hills, fruitful trees and all cedars, beasts and all cattle, creeping things and flying fowl, kings of the earth and all peoples, princes of all, judges of the earth. Both young men and maidens, old men and children, let them praise the name of the Lord. For His name alone is exalted. His glory is above the earth and heaven. And He has exalted the horn of His people, the praise of all His saints, of the children of Israel. Oh, a people near to Him. Praise the Lord. Amen. And the last book, not to be outdone, praise the Lord. Psalm 150, verse 1, praise God in His sanctuary. It's okay to say praise God. Amen. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in His mighty firmament. Praise Him for His mighty acts and praise Him according to His excellent greatness. Praise Him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise Him with the lute and the harp. Praise Him with the timbrel and dance. Praise Him with stringed instruments and flutes. Praise Him with loud cymbals. Praise Him with clashing cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Doesn't it almost want to make you say, amen? Yes, it does. What a wonderful week to praise the Lord. I'll tell you, folks, when you really, really understand how great our God is, it makes Thanksgiving come alive. To realize that we have been given the gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. To realize that as families we can come together on Thanksgiving and worship God. where we can give Him the glory for the abundant food that He's provided for us in this country. We can thank Him for our little children that gather around the table this week. We can thank Him for our grandchildren and our cousins and our uncles and our aunts and our mamas and our daddies and our grandpas and grandmas. We can thank God for our family, and we can thank Him for our church. We husbands can thank God for our mates who have stayed by us, for those who have. And for those wives, you can thank God for the men who have worked to provide for you and the children that they love. I thank God for my wife of 45 years. We dated for 4 years before that. You know, I'm almost pushing the big 5-0 here since I fell in love with my sweetheart in high school. My mama said, "You aren't yet dry behind the ears," whatever that meant. She was sure it was puppy love, but I knew I didn't love any puppy that I ever had like I loved Joni. It was just different. And I thank God for that woman in my life. I thank God for our home, a physical structure where we can be safe in this world in which we live. I thank God for the table that provides the food that we've been blessed with. I thank God for our 3 sons and their wives. I thank God for our 4 grandchildren today. I never knew we would live to see that happen. But today I give thanks, as our lesson said today, we're reaching a time in our life when we're ready to pass that torch of thanksgiving and praise to our children, who will lift that torch of thanksgiving and praise around a table in the future if Jesus does not come. And they will give thanks for their grandma and their grandpa and their mom and their dad, who may not be there in the years ahead. How thankful I am today for my grandparents that passed on the heritage of Seventh-day Adventist Christianity. How grateful I am for my mom and dad who no longer are here, but lay in their grave today awaiting that great resurrection morning. How thankful I am for a mother and father who loved the Lord Jesus Christ and were Seventh-day Adventist Christians. How thankful I am today that I can pass that same torch to my sons and then to their children before Jesus comes. Beloved, today I'm thankful. And all of my thanks supersedes football. As fun as those games are, as I saw the kids in the street the other day throwing the football between cousins that had never been in our little street before. They were new faces, but they came to Grandma's house. And next door there were kids galore throwing the old pumpkin up and down the old asphalt street, laughing, having a good time to build memories of Thanksgiving. But beloved, my point is this. There's nothing wrong with having some fun on Thanksgiving Day, but we need to remember without Jesus, it means nothing. But Jesus has given us family, and He's made us a part of His through His death on Calvary's cross. Today I'm thankful for what He's given me, and I'm thankful for every one of you and the privilege I have of being your pastor and your friend. Let's pray. Father, today I thank You for my family, far bigger than just blood, but a universal family through the blood of Jesus. Thank You, Father, for this old world and the thousands upon thousands of people who love You, who want to be in Your kingdom. And thank You for the thousands upon thousands who don't know You, but they will get to know You before Jesus returns. And I pray, Father, that we might have a part in inviting them to come to Your Thanksgiving table. In Jesus' name, amen.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. This recording has been digitally reprocessed from the original audio cassette or reel-to-reel in order to make this CD available. The audio quality was improved as much as possible. International copyright, American Christian Ministries. All rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.americanchristianministries.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with our speakers and volunteer workers to encourage them. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He's coming soon.